Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdok.
And welcome. We're glad to have you on this beautiful Saturday after a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope and I pray that you enjoyed that time with your family and friends and neighbors, as I have been blessed with three of them. I got some friends all the way from Texas. And the wonderful family joined me and they blessed us this year. And I got a wonderful neighbor across the street. And we also got a family relative to my beloved wife. And we have really, really wonderful time. How is your Thanksgiving, Christy?
Well, Usama, it was really very nice. I have
got a family relative to my beloved wife. And we have.
Oh, really, hey, see, here's the problem. When I'm in YouTube. When I'm in YouTube, hold on.
I am.
I didn't realize I needed to do that.
Oh, hey, here's the problem. When I'm in...
Okay, I was trying to mute it. It wouldn't mute, but I'll get it muted. When I was telling you about Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, we have a friend. You know her also. And, you know, she really doesn't have any family to go and eat. So we went, I took her out to a restaurant to eat, and it was really nice. We enjoyed our time together. And then I went to each of my two daughters' homes and enjoyed a lot of food and just couldn't eat everywhere. You know, there's only so much food you can eat. But I had a dinner that was sent home, so that was really lovely, and I had that earlier today.
How about you, Adam? How was your Thanksgiving? Just if you feel like, Adam, the question, if you don't feel like, just ignore me, man. Go ahead, bro.
Well, Thanksgiving was really, really a Thanksgiving this year around, even though that I had COVID in my house, as you know. But the Lord God has blessed me in such a way that the COVID was not impacted in the bad way. It was, and then all the rest of us are safe.
Amen.
My Lord is good. And wow, it was not the Thanksgiving that I expected, because we had planned to go out and have some 5 days out vacations. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, due to the COVID situation, we were not able to. But still, even having COVID and getting the kids and other kids and everyone safe, man, that's a blessing of our Lord. And thanks, absolutely, everyone for the prayers.
Absolutely. God, amen, is good all the time. God is good. And even when things does not go in our way as we wish it to be, God has a plan and all things work together for good.
Amen. Absolutely.
We don't know why things sometimes happen that way, but it is the Lord's will. So, good. So, Christy, I know you have some material you want to share with us before we get to our study. So, as the number one producer, I'll make you number one producer. We'll make Adam number two producer.
That's so funny. Well, I want to tell you, it's interesting, because of Thanksgiving weekend, a lot of the stories that, you know, you would think would make the news did not make a lot of news. For one thing, we did not have a president visiting our military overseas, even though he brought troops back from Afghanistan. We still have troops overseas, and it's a tradition for the president to go and visit, but Biden kind of went somewhere and enjoyed his time, I believe in Delaware. Not really sure where, because I didn't really care, so I didn't listen very much. But, you know, the point is, what is in the news is there's a lot of persecution against Christians that is still going on, and with the media failing to cover it, I was looking for stories. I wanted to remind people about Christians and others who may have left Islam and are still in Afghanistan. You know, there's a ministry that has gone on in Afghanistan to reach Muslims for Christ. So we know that sometimes Muslims leave Islam and haven't necessarily become Christian. So please be praying for the people who are there. They're praying for a great revival because of the persecution that people are under is causing one group of people to leave, some of them evacuating to Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because maybe Brother Adam can say something more about that. They were saying that Pakistan isn't real friendly to Christians, but it's sure a lot better than Afghanistan.
Absolutely. You know what? I think we have some information Brother Adam is going to share with us right now about some real serious persecution for Christians. And Brother Adam, if you don't mind, go ahead and share with us what you have in the house.
Yeah.
Pakistan is better than Afghanistan? Yes. Pakistan is still so bad.
Yeah.
Just 3 days ago, I did a video on my live stream as well. Man. There you go. Four people were accused of blasphemy and put into jail. Why? Because they went into the mosque and asked the imam to announce a funeral service of a Christian, dead Christian.
Oh, wow. And they got
this is the riot that happened right outside the mosque. As you can see the picture, and the riot's happening. Precisely, the allegation is, the charge is precisely that of blasphemy for challenging the authorities of the imam and outraging the mosque. They went in and they said, new charge of blasphemy has lodged against a Muslim woman, in Lahore, no, not a Muslim, that's a typo, Christian woman, allowing to remember the death of a Christian neighbor at dawn at November 18, a woman had contacted the imam of Jamia Masjid, Hashmatullah, to ask from the loudspeaker of the mosque the death to be announced so that those who wish to attend, they can attend the funeral service. Full stop. In Pakistan, churches do not have loudspeakers. Only mosques have loudspeakers. This news is in Al Jazeera as well. This news in Dawn News as well, Dunya News as well. This is a major news.
Yeah.
It just happened 4 days ago.
You know what, Adam? I believe Christians need to understand the truth about how, I'm talking about Christian Americans, or even Americans in general, need to know how the Muslims treating the Christians of the Middle East. While we bring Pakistani to America without even ask, what is your religion? And majority of them, obviously, are Muslims. And we give them all the privileges which they will never have in their own home country, their own Islamic Sharia. You know what I'm saying here? The
yes.
same time, the Christian of Pakistan will not have any respect for any embassies. What do you call the word? Embassies? No. When you feel sorry for somebody.
Pity?
Pity.
Yes.
What is the word? You feel sorry for somebody.
Pity.
Any pity, okay. When somebody dies. I mean, in Egypt, where I am from, we take the chairs and we take the pew out of the church and we put them in the street for showing literally love to our neighbor who lost a loved one so they can use it to sit on and have the funeral in the street. These two hands carry chairs and pew from the church, from my home church, and we put them in the street when our neighbors lost a loved one. And those idiots will not announce on the microphone, somebody died, for those who would like to go attend the funeral.
Oh.
What kind of relationship is it? It is Islamic relationship. That is what the people of the world need to understand. Muslims should never take Jews and Christians for friends and to be friendly with them at the time of death, at the time of sorrow. That is not acceptable. As a matter of fact, Muslims should celebrate the death of every Christian until the last one is killed according to the belief of Islam. This is the reality, Adam. We need to figure it out. We need to figure it out before it's too late that we do not have any respect, any love, any sympathy when we lose even a loved one in the Muslim world, because that is Islam in a nutshell.
Brother, I already know that. The West needs to know that, because Uthman and Muhammad and Umar, there are multiple hadiths that I showed the other night on my channel, that even if your mother or your father dies as a Christian or a Jew or a pagan, you should ride the funeral service in the front, not on the side, not on the back, in the front. And as soon as they are about to put the person inside the grave, move away from there. Do not be part of the funeral procession. That's the ahadith of Muhammad. And Muhammad said, if they are not your relative, throw them in a dung. You know, don't bury them. Because Muhammad himself put the people in a empty well. So this is the reality. Look what happened.
Yeah.
These people argued. So four people were put into jail. Last time when Asiya Bibi was put a charge of blasphemy, she remained in jail for 8 years, not 8 months. Not 8 weeks, 8 years before the court announced that she is not guilty. 8 years of her life was in jail. Brother, usually in 8 years, your whole punishment is done.
Yeah.
Dude, she was in jail for 8 years, and then she was pronounced not guilty.
Yeah.
How many years these four members will have to suffer in jail before they will be pronounced not guilty?
It is sad, it is sick, but the West needs to know that, number one. Number two, we the Christian of the Muslim world need to figure out they're not decent people. They're not loving neighbors. They're Muslims. So maybe from now on, we maybe print some paper and go around, get a small microphone in a car, and go around the city and we announce ourselves.
No, brother, you cannot. You cannot. In Pakistan, there is a law. So last time, there was a lady called Tabitha Gill. I did a live stream. One of my live streams was removed by YouTube. I did another live stream in which I removed their allegations and then did it. Tabitha Gill prayed. She was a nurse. Prayed on a dying person in the name of Jesus. She was pronounced blasphemous. The hospital staff beat her up, then dragged her down 3 staircases, tore her clothes apart in the middle of the street, and then she was put into jail, brother. So you think you can pronounce funeral service in Pakistan in your car using a small speaker?
Well,
man,
maybe,
grow up.
Okay. Maybe whatever, I do not know the rules in Pakistan. I know in Egypt we do that, and nobody ever stopped Christians from doing that. But don't forget now, in the Pact of Omar, which forced on us the Christian in Egypt, I don't know about the Christian back then, when we have a funeral service, we have to do it quietly. We don't wail,
exactly.
We don't cry, we don't weep, and we have to do it quietly, and we cannot bury our dead at night. This is some of the persecution which was put on the Christian of Egypt for the last 14 years. Now, always on the radio, or we can go on TV and do that now. But it is sick. Oh, God help us. God help us.
I'm sorry about bringing up this news. And Chloe Baker said that's empathy.
No, sympathy and empathy are slightly different. But sympathy really means something with emotion. Empathy is just kind of relating to what somebody's going through. So you could have both. But we usually talk about sympathy when someone dies, which means there's pain. That,
if you're sorry, if you live the Christian life, weeping with those who weep and laughing with those who laugh, this is a biblical teaching. That's how our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ taught us. Now, in Islam, Muhammad did not teach him to be weeping when some Christian or some Jew died, but maybe laugh, maybe do it backwards. When you see the Christian and the Jewish are suffering, laugh and have fun.
Anyway, empathy and sympathy are something I don't think Muslims feel for, I don't know, maybe they are fearful of showing their feelings in Islam altogether. I mean,
not for their own Muslim brothers and sisters.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Even though we Christian, when our Muslim neighbor lose a loved one, and we laugh and we happy celebrate when our Muslim neighbor get married or succeed in school or succeed in business, because this is our nature. You see, I was reading today in my live broadcast, which I do in Arabic. I was reading what is written in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And it's really amazing, Christian. I know this is not what we are going to be talking about. Just let me quickly share this with you guys to see the difference between Christian belief and Muslim belief. Matthew chapter 5. And if you have a Bible, Christian, I have it in Arabic. I don't have it in English. But,
all right. Let me pull that up. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I have so many tabs here, but just a second, I'll have it. I'll have it. One second. Give me a minute. Here we go. I got a bookmark, so. All right.
Okay, give me the verse. I'll show it on screen.
Matthew 5.
Go ahead, Adam, put on the screen. Samatum. Let me get to the last one for the sake of time.
Matthew?
43. Matthew 5, 43.
Okay.
And it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to go beyond 43?
Put this thing down, brother.
Okay, sorry.
Not just one verse. As a matter of fact, I will go all the way until verse 48, which is the last verse.
Yes, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He caused his sun to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
That perfection of our life, to love our enemy, is not something exist in Islam. And I love it because, you know, I used to read these verses and I talk about, but I never see it until like maybe a couple years ago. I said, wait a minute. Muslims defend Allah. Muslims defend Muhammad. Muslims defend Islam. Allah, Muhammad, and Islam are so weak. Allah needs the help of the Muslims. They are Allah's helpers. That's exactly what a interpretation. Ibn Kathir in many verses of the Quran. But my God is so strong. My God is so powerful. But even though he's so strong, he's so powerful, he does not want us to live, but as he lived. How did my God live? My God lived in an amazing, gracious way that he bring his sunshine, the sunlight, and the sun warmth on everybody on earth. And I don't believe anybody on earth deserves it. Not the Christian, not the Muslim, nobody. But he loves us all the same. And he brings the rain on everybody on earth. And I don't think anybody deserves that rain. And he brings it because God is perfect. His love is perfect. He is not a weak God wants me to be deserved or trust him. And he wants us to be like him. He loves everybody. I must love everybody. And if I love those only who love me, sinners know how to do that. Trust me. Prostitutes. He loves the men they sleep with. I'm not kidding you. Why? Because they're business. They're money making. Okay? Business. I, as a Christian, I must love those who hate me so I can be like my Father in heaven, who in actual life, no Muslim can deny, even if they believe Allah is God. I say, okay, Allah is God, for the sake of argument, that Allah does not fight the evil one by stopping rain on them. And by stopping the sunshine only in the Muslim world, but not in the rest of the world. No, even within a Muslim mind, mentality, etc., the God of Islam treats all people the same because the sun shone on everybody, the rain came down on everybody, and sometimes crisis comes to the bad people and the good people. Even the good Muslims get earthquakes and tornado and all these crises which we know happen around the world. The point is this, I as a Christian, to be like my Father in heaven, I have to act like Christ. How? Love everybody. Muslims do not know that. They don't know that. We can't help it. Allah said, don't love them. Allah said, don't take them for friends. How in the world do you expect as a Muslim to take somebody like this wonderful Pakistani Christian who died as friends? He can't. If you do it, you're no longer a Muslim. That's the reality. Now, the Muslim in the West may lie and pretend to be loving and peaceful, and we worship the same God and this hogwash talk, but in reality, when you go to the 57 Muslim countries around the world, or 56, well, guess what? That fruit from the tree of Islam is a great evidence that what they teach in America is simply hogwash.
Let me show you exactly what the Muhammad said.
Yes.
Muhammad ibn al-Hasham and ibn Harun said that Abdullah, Abu Abdullah, Imam Ahmad, was asked, and he, Muslim, attends the funeral of a non-Muslim? He replied, yes. As did Al-Haritha ibn Ali Rahba, he attended the funeral of his non-Muslim mother. He attended the funeral of his mother and kept to a side. Abu Talib said, I asked Abdullah about a man who died as a Jew, leaving behind a Muslim son. What should the son do? He replied, he rides his mount in front of the funeral procession, and he should not be behind him. When they are about to bury him, he leaves. Just as Umar said, I say he meant what he was narrated, Sayyid Ibn Mansur, Abu Walidi said, my Christian mother passed away. I went to Umar and asked him, and he replied, ride in the front of the funeral procession and be in front of her. Humble said, Imam Humble, another madhab of Islam, same narration, and then funeral until they bury him. So you should be there, handle, and if he is allowed to handle any part of the funeral until they bury him. He replied, if this non-Muslim is a father, mother, brother, or a close relative, he attended. Then there is no harm in that.
Yeah.
But if they are not your close relative, then no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded Ali ibn Talib to eat, to may Allah be pleased with him, to bury his non-Muslim father Abu Talib. I said, do you believe that the Muslim asked about should they do the same? He said, the followers of his religion handle his body, and the Muslim relative is present with them until they take it for burial.
Yeah.
Until they take it for burial, he then leaves them and bury him, and then so on and so forth. So, even that's the reality of Islam. So this Matthew, man, either this God is wrong or that God is wrong. And the people can judge by themselves which God is wrong.
But here's the truth, Adam. I guarantee you, if I dig deep into the subject, I will show you some hadith by Muhammad which teach the opposite of what we just have read. The Ben, when this was it written in the late days of Muhammad or the early days of Muhammad? Or even in the early days of Muhammad?
True that, yeah. That can also be...
Well, that's another problem. Now, Jesus' teaching, ladies and gentlemen, does not have this problem. It's not like Jesus in the early days of the ministry thought A, in the middle days of the ministry thought B, and in the late days of his ministry thought C. We don't have A and B and C because Jesus' word is God's word. He will not take them back. He will not teach the opposite. So, but according to that hadith, and I never heard the hadith before, it's a brand new hadith to me. Of course, you know that the hadith, we have probably around 10 times bigger than the Bible, saying of Muhammad. I mean, literally, the 2% or less than 2% of Bukhari or Sahih Muslim is 6 volumes. That's like 10 times bigger than the Quran, almost the same size as the Bible. That is the 2%. If I go for the whole hadith, everything Muhammad said, there were so many words in Muhammad list. If you get somebody to read, probably around 550, 600 years to be able to say what they said, Muhammad said. But in reality, I don't believe Muhammad said any of that. This is just hogwash. Okay, here we go.
One last one before you go. If they are not your relatives, close relatives, what should you do? Throw them in well. Bye-bye. You don't have to bury them. You don't have to attend the funeral procession. You don't have to do anything. Just throw them in well. Because they are not your relatives. This is the reality because Quran says that they are worse than the animals. They are worse than the all living creatures.
So
yes.
Does this well have water in it or dry well?
That they did not say that. They did not tell me.
Because, believe it or not, because in Islam, water is pure. Water is clean. So they were traveling and they were thirsty. And they were ahead of Muhammad, you know, a few minutes or a few whatever. And they saw this water, and in the water, like a lake or some pond, and inside the water, there was a dead donkey, Christy Johnson. Dead, rotten donkey in the water. So they say, oh, awesome, Allah, I'm glad you came. There's water here, and we're thirsty, but there's a donkey here in it. He said, al-ma'u tahur. Water is clean. He drank from it, and he washed from it, and they all drink from it, and they carry water from the same pond to some other Muslim to drink later.
And oh, maybe, God. And they probably got very sick.
No, Muhammad performed evolution from water of well of Buddha, which has dead dogs, menstruation clothes, and human feces in it. And Muhammad said this water is pure because water cannot be defiled.
Water is tahur. Water is tahur. Is pure, man. Anyway, so I don't know how many people in the well.
No. Nope. Hey, I just thought of something. No wonder they like to drink camel urine. I mean,
camel urine is pure.
It's better than the water. Look at
this. Anything, Chris, you want to talk about?
Well, yes, I was going to ask you about something. I know we talked a lot about the persecution of Christians. If you do want to know a little bit more about the ministry that is going on with Christians who are still in Afghanistan, there are groups, including one from Canada, that is trying to stay in contact with Christians there. To provide them encouragement, and they do ask that you be praying for them because many of them have had to leave to undisclosed places in order to hide because they have messages coming from the Taliban that they know where they are and they know what they're doing. I can't imagine something that could be more frightening if you were, for instance, a family with young children. And we know that the Muslims don't have any pity on people just because they have young kids. You know, we have all this stuff going on here in America with people coming across the border, and we're so horrible because we separate children from adults when we don't know if those adults are actually their parents or if these kids have been kidnapped. But in Islam, I don't think they are so worried about families. Right.
The blessing of Muslims coming to America from any part around the world equals to zip, zero, nothing. Think about Ilhan Omar. She's not actually Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, American people are so naive, or I can say so stupid, especially our good Democrats. They think if a Muslim does it, my name is Usama Dakhtar, that means that's his real name. No, that means nothing. Or if Usama Dakhtar brought a piece of paper, a birth certificate, or a high school diploma, or anything with the name Usama Dakhtar, that means he's really Usama Dakhtar. No, it means nothing. Remember, Christy, I talked about that years ago.
Yes,
I said,
absolutely.
I can go to Egypt and come back to America with all legal paperwork, not fraud, legal, stamped by our eagle, stamp, Egyptian stamp, signed by the mayors, signed by all the professionals, and I come back to America by the name Barack Hussein. With a female identity, I will call myself Christy Johnson, and I will make myself any age. I can come at 20, 40, 60, 80. How old are you, Christy, now? 89? How old are you?
Close to that, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can come with the same age as Christy, 89 years old. And it's all legal. All you need to do is go to the office where the most... What? I'm going to America to perform jihad, but I need a Barack Hussein Obama name. Sure. All the payment will be done in one day. I can have a birth certificate. I can have all the ID, passport, whatever you want, by any name, by any age, by any sex.
Wow.
Male or female.
And I want to show you the difference between Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
This is Pakistan. It is number 5 in the list of Christian persecution. But in the violence with the Christian persecution, it got the number 16.7 out of 16.7.
Wow.
So you cannot go beyond 16.7 in the persecution for violence against Christians. You cannot go beyond that. It's 100% marks. Okay. Church Life is 13.5 out of 16.7. National Life is 14.9 out of 16.7. Community Life is 15.1 out of 16.7. But when we look at Afghanistan, Afghanistan is number 2 instead of number 5 in Christian persecution. It's on number 2. And here, violence with the Christians are 10.2 out of 16.7. So human-to-human violence with the Christians is far less than Pakistan. But the church life is zero because it's 16.7 out of 16.7. Like, they, you cannot go beyond 16.7. All the rest of the numbers are 100% because they don't let the Christians do anything. Hence, the Christians are hidden. Hence, they don't receive the violence. But in Pakistan, they are not hidden, so they receive the violence. That's the difference only.
Wow, that's a good point, Adam. I wanted to bring up another story, Usama, about the kinds of things, the kind of persecution that we're never going to hear about on national news, but it's still a type of way in which Christians in Muslim countries are discriminated against. You know, we used to hear people here in the United States complain and say, oh, wow, they're discriminating against me because I'm a Christian. Well, that might have been true. It is getting to be more and more common now. But there's a story that I found on Worthy News, which is talking about teachers in Egypt. And this is a story explaining that teachers attack Coptic Christian students in school, and the teachers literally are creating hostility and even attacks against Christian students in schools in Egypt. So they're not, this one says they order Christian students to remove any jewelry with a cross and then beat them. And I don't know if this was going on when you were a student in Egypt, but I know you had some experiences there. And tell me about that.
Christian in Egypt persecuted from birth until burial. If you have a child and you're going to name him a Christian name, they mock you. And that child grew up as a birth certificate. They mock you. They're like, we're not going to name ourselves with Muslim names. We have our Christian names. And that's one of the facts that Allah, we're proud of. We have no problem to name our children Christian because we are Christian. As a child, I put a cross in my right hand. That cross says I'm a Christian. I did this when I was 9 years old. Because we're proud of ourselves to be a Christian. Muslims, they come to America, they change their name. His name is Ed. I said, oh, Ed, how do you spell that? Well, it's Muhammad. How in the world Muhammad turned to Ed? Or his name is Lee. How do you spell Lee? Well, A-L-I. Ali Lee. You know what I'm saying here? Muslims have no problem to deny that Muslim by even making up a fake name or what do you call nickname for themselves. So they will blend with America. We don't do that in Egypt. And nobody is persecuted in America for being Muslim. And guess what? Even though Christians are persecuted in the Muslim world, guess who is coming to America as religious persecution? The Muslims.
Yes.
They're persecuted by their own people. That's why they come into America. And we take them in America as religious persecution or refugees for religious reasons. Give me a break. You dumb Democrat, stop. Stop what you're doing. You're digging graves for your children and grandchildren. You have not learned from what happened in the last 10 years in America, what's happening in Europe for the last 50 years. And what is coming to America is even worse. How in the world you can bring Muslims, but you cannot bring Christian refugees from Egypt?
Yeah, this has been a big problem, and we have talked about this many times, that when these wars are going on in the Middle East, and sometimes our own government has been involved and been a provocator. We know when we invaded Iraq and when we had people trying to escape because there was terrorists all over the place, the people that were brought here particularly under the Obama administration, were all Muslim. Yet,
no. They were like 98%. They were less than 2% Christian.
Well, but what I'm saying, what I'm saying is the majority were Muslim, and yet the Christians were being persecuted on all sides.
Okay, you know what? Remember, Christy, also this happened under Clinton.
Yes.
When he went in war with the days of Monica, he went to war with what the name of this country, I remember. And he brought the Muslim as refugees to St. Louis East. As a matter of fact, I saw at least 22,000 Muslim refugees after Serbia as a war in Serbia.
Yes.
And it's like, Clinton went in war with the Muslims against the Christian Serbians, and he brought the Muslim Serbians to St. Louis as refugees, 21,000. What is wrong with the mentality of the stupid Clinton and the stupid Democrats? I don't understand.
Well, I can tell you one thing, that we are not serving the same God, and I guess that's the problem. If you don't know the Lord, you just try to be nice. You come up with your own way to be moral. And we talk a lot about how people are trying to project themselves as being such good people, and we're going to do this and that for people who are disadvantaged. But what sense does it make when we're talking about refugees coming into the United States, and we're going to give them a family could have $1 million, and when a military member of the military is killed, we give their family $125,000. I mean, it's crazy. So this does not make you a good person. It makes you foolish, and unfortunately, we have a lot of foolishness going on all sides, it seems.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Anything else, Christy?
Well, Usama, I just do want to tell you I have gotten in the chat room, but there's so much going on, I don't know that I can even keep up with it. But
all right. Those who watch us, please invite other people. I'm going to start our study to continue on part five. If you know somebody you want to invite, it's perfect time to invite them now. I will play one quick commercial, and when we come back, Lord willing, we're going to start on part five, women in Islam, and we're going to talk about romance in Islam, how in Islam Muslim men love their wives, and they will make sure that they romantically in love. Even at the time of making love, a woman in Islam will have great time, much better than any other woman in the world. That is what Dr. Ruqayyah Abdulmaqsood is going to teach us. But in reality, we're going to learn the true story about women in Islam concerning romance. All right? Quick break. We'll be back after this one here.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophets, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. and was just completed. We then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran. In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us tonight, and I hope and I pray that not only you will watch the study we're going to be launching now, part 5 of Women in Islam, but also share it with others. And like us, ring the bell, and all the good stuff maybe Brother Adam will put later on us to help this ministry to grow. I'm not asking anything from anyone but to share the truth about our teaching with the rest of your friends and other places. Brother Adam told us last week, you can put this on your channel or on your, how you call it, Adam? Come on, Adam, tell me. We have no problem for anybody to repost. Yeah, repost, I believe.
They can download it. They can download it, and they can put them on their own channels, or they can share it as their community post. It's all up to them. Please spread the news.
That's all. That's all what we ask for you. Christy, Adam, myself, we have been, Adam just joined us in the TV, and without Adam, I would not have done this TV because it's beyond my ability and beyond my time. But thank God for his help. But Chris and I have been doing that now for 14 years, and we'll continue to do it, and we'll continue to be faithful. Now you, do your part, be faithful, help this ministry to grow, so share it with others. I love it when I go to the see how many people watch, and I see hundreds, but I want it thousands. I don't want hundreds. I want it thousands. I want it in millions. Because the message we share is very important. We all need to know it, and we all need to share it with others. So, part 5, I know, Christy, what I'm supposed to start. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Sister Rukia Abdel-Maksud, which you talked about.
You told me to write down sexual intimacy. That is where it's going.
I need to find it for you. Yes, sister. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch this one as a PowerPoint. Hopefully I know what I'm doing, because believe it or not, I do not know what I'm doing right now. Okay. Adam is going to laugh at me. Wait, sister. Let me go here. And because I want to do it different, So we're going to go here and tap. And what I need to do is go here, not here. You know what, Adam? I think I forgot how to do it. How do you do this, Adam? You go to
Brother. Just click on share and then click on share screen and then...
No. How to get it out first.
Sorry, what do you mean by that?
Nope. It is this one. And oh, yes, I find it now. Hey, I'm getting better every day. Okay? So, now I'm going to go share. Okay.
And I think we have Osama got stuck.
Oh, he's not moving. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Hey, Osama. I thought he was just deep in thought.
No, seriously. You guys be nice to me.
I'm nice. I'm always nice to you.
I've not done it for a week. It took more longer time.
You forget. I understand that, Usama. Yeah, I do.
You know what, Christy? You are my special friend.
I have a lot of empathy.
All right. So we're going to go. Hugo, listen up. Hugo.
Whoops, whoops, wait. That was way too low. We couldn't hear it.
You can't hear that?
No, I can't hear the slide. I hear you really loud. So.
A form of worship. So that each considers the happiness and satisfaction of the other rather than mere self-gratification.
Okay, you can, let me tell you, you can play it one more time. It was all good. Just the first couple of words were bad. So if everyone be quiet, it will be good.
Let me try it again.
Sexual intimacy outside marriage is forbidden in Islam, including sex before marriage, adultery, or homosexual relationships. However, within marriage, sexual intimacy should be raised from the animal level to sadaqah, a form of worship, so that each considers the happiness and satisfaction of the other rather than mere self-gratification.
Well, I'm going to pray you'll have children sitting next to you right now as your warning for what is coming up. If you think your children are grown up enough to figure out what we're going to be talking about, that's fine. But my advice to you, if you have children, maybe you need to ask them to go for nice time or bedtime, or if you're watching another time, just stop it. And if you're watching this program later, stop it, and you can watch it later. All right. Now, this is Dr. Rukia Abdul Maksud. Once again, let me remind you, this is a British lady who married a Muslim Pakistani man who somehow became a good Muslim and wrote over 30 books 10 years ago. I have no idea how many books she wrote by now. Maybe she wrote 100 books by now. 30 books, 14, 15 years ago. If she writes a couple books every year, man, she maybe wrote 100 books about Islam. She's helping the cause of Allah in England and around the world. Because believe it or not, everything she taught in this presentation, I heard from Dr. Sahar in New Orleans University, as I shared with you before. So she's telling us here what Dr. Sahar told us in the university, that in Christianity, listen carefully, guys, in Christianity, people can live together, boyfriend and girlfriend, and you change boyfriend and change girlfriend and have a good time. But in Islam, it's not. Excuse me, what? In Christianity? In Christianity, a man leaves his father and his mother and unite with his wife as they become one flesh. That's not anything you know about in Islam. So maybe she meant in the West. Maybe she meant in the free world. Maybe she meant in America. Maybe she meant in the world, but not in Christianity. Don't fix this together, okay? In Christianity, we don't have this living like animals. So outside of marriage, sex in Islam is forbidden. Really? We talked about it in the past. We're going to talk again about it. Now, include sex before marriage. So if you are falling in love with somebody, you're engaged to her or to him, you don't be involved with it sexually in Islam. Good, absolutely. Adultery or homosexual relationships. No homosexuality in Islam. Wait a minute. I thought you tell the homosexual of America, if you are in love with him, that's him and him, you can be good Muslim and be married to each other. Or if you're in love with her, that's her and her, you can be living together and be married to each other. Homosexuality is rejecting Islam in Islam, but accepting Islam in America. Figure it out, okay? Figure it out. However, within marriage, husband and wife in Islam, sexual intimacy should be raised from the animal level to sadaqah. If you don't know what sadaqah is, that is doing good deeds. Like when you give money to the poor, that's sadaqah. When you help somebody, that's any giving to the poor, is sadaqah. Now, sex in Islam is sadaqah. Sweetheart, I'm going to make love to you right now, and I'm doing Allah a favor by making love to you, and you're going to enjoy it. Okay? Here's the proof. Consider the happiness and the satisfaction of the other. So it's not a man, enjoy it, and thank you, bye-bye, baby. No. A man must satisfy his wife. That is the beauty about intimacy, sexual relationship within the holy marriage of Islam. Okay? Rather than mere self-gratification. So it's not a man enjoy himself and let it go. No, 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 no. This is what Dr. Ruqayyah teaches. Don't forget now, marriage is the only way for a man to enjoy sexual relationship with a woman in Islam. You know that the word marriage in Islam never exists. Oh, no, 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 sorry. It's not existent. The Arabic language, it's not existent in the Quran. Once again, let me explain this to you. Zawaj, marriage, is between two pairs. Zawj, one pair. A man and woman make one pair. That zawj, that's the word zawaj, which is marriage, never mentioned in the Quran. No, no, it is all over the Quran. Not in the Arabic translation, not the Arabic of the Quran, nor the accurate English translation of mine, the generous Quran. The word marriage is not there. Why? Because we have another word we talked about in the past. We have no problem to open Uncle Google a little bit later here, brother Adam can share it with us and show you Uncle Google. No kidding. No kidding. Okay? Uncle Google Translate can tell you that the word is the Quran is nukah, which is not marriage. It is actually having a good time. It is the F word. Okay? That is how Allah understands. So, now let's move on to Quran chapter 4, verse 24 to learn about, can a Muslim man involve sexually with a woman without being married to her? He said no. Dr. Ruqayyah said no, you cannot have sex with a female out of marriage, nor even before marriage. Even if she's your fiance, no, you can't. Here's what Allah said in the Quran. Quran 4:24.
And married women are also forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This is the decree of Allah for you, and it is wrongful to you, besides this, to seek out women with your money, chaste without fornication. So whatever you enjoy by it from them, so give them their wages. It is an ordinance, and there will be no sin on you about what you have mutually agreed on after the ordinance. Surely Allah was knowing why.
See, marriage is a holy union. It's an ordinance. No, the prostitution is an ordinance. Listen to that. If you go to Quran chapter 4, verse 23, the verse before this one here, Allah gives you a list of all those who you cannot have sex with. You cannot have sex with your sister. You cannot have sex with your daughter. You cannot have sex with your daughters, your sister's daughters. You cannot have sex with your brother's daughters. And less, okay? Now, also, and married women are forbidden. But here you see the word, the beautiful word, except. Is exception. Except all that your right hand possesses. So it doesn't matter how many women a man can capture and become his possession. And we know the story behind this verse about these Muslim men who went to war and the husband ran for their life and the Muslim men were able to capture the women and they felt bad about having sex with them. And Muhammad said, oh, hold it, don't release yourself. Let me talk to Allah first. So Muhammad talked to Allah. Jibreel quickly came and said, yep, you can have sex with them. Apostle of Allah, we know their husband. Their husband's still alive. It doesn't matter why, because Allah gave that verse, except all that the right hand is. So that's the Ruqayyah. Allah said in the Quran, a Muslim man can be involved sexually with a woman whom her husband's still alive, and he's not married to her. Help me, Adam, here. Help me, Christian. How can you tell me that Allah said, you cannot have sex, according to Dr. Ruqayyah Abdul Maqsood, you cannot have sex with a woman whom you are not married to. But Allah in the Quran says, you can have sex with married woman whom you are not married to.
Brother, you don't have slavery in the West. That's why she said that.
Oh, let's see. Okay.
It's
okay.
Islamic. It's Islamic. Her right hand possession is Islamic only. So she is in a West where the secular government has abolished slavery. Hence, she can say that because she doesn't have to tell you that, you know.
And here's the rest of the verse. And it is lawful to you besides that to seek out women with your money. I love it how Muhammad will put these words to make it holy marriage. Look at this. Jeez, without fornication. Do you know what chaste is? Do you know what fornication is, you idiot? You idiot. It's because Allah put this word in the sentence and make it a holy thing. This is zawaj al-muta. Zawaj al-muta. A marriage for fun. Once again, a man enjoys it. And whatever you enjoy by it, that is the private part from the prostitution. If you look at the bottom here, guys, look at the bottom here. I have this word in Hadith Muslim between 3,476 to 3,501. Marriage for fun, the waj and whatnot. And I love it how Sunni argue with the Shia, but because until today, Shia can hire a prostitute for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, a day, two, three, it doesn't matter. They think it is holy marriage. The women of the Shiites believe it's the holy marriage. I'm not kidding you. I remember one time I was in an airport and I was sitting and for 2 hours tired of waiting for my, and I'm looking at my left side and I see a lady sitting and have a book in Arabic. So I'm trying to read. Man, I can't read a word. I mean, I can read it, but I cannot read it. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, what? I said, what is this you're reading? She said, it's Pharisee. Oh, I thought, man, I can read it. I'm not kidding you, but I don't understand. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Egypt. I said, I can read Arabic. She said, well, it's the same Arabic. Like first, so I started talking to her. I said, ma'am, would you mind if I ask a question? She said, hey, you have liberty to stop me from talking and just, you don't have to answer my question. No, 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 no. She's not dressed in hijab. She's just a modest woman. I said, as a Muslim woman and you are a Shiite, she said, yes. How do you feel about your husband being married to another woman, temporary marriage? I didn't use the word for fun. I said, temporary marriage. She said, oh, it's marriage for fun. I said, how do you feel about it? Well, absolutely, it's okay. Allah gave him the right to do so. I said, excuse me. This is your husband. He's going to be married to another woman for an hour, 2 hours, a day. Oh, no problem. Absolutely. This is halal. Allah. This is an educated woman, live in America, speak English and Persian. I don't know what other language to speak. I'm not talking about some woman coming from behind a cow. Or behind a camera, she cannot read them. No, very educated, very modest place. I said, ma'am, so what is the difference between this marriage for fun and prostitution? I said, the difference. I said, why? She said, because in the marriage for fun, you have to have two eyewitnesses. I said, excuse me, if I'm going to go hire a prostitute across the street and I take 10 witnesses, plus two, 10, I get all my buddies to come witness, I'm hiring this prostitute for a day or for whatever. Would this make it halal? She said, no. It's different. This is not like prostitution. The woman lost her mind. I think Muslim women are Muslim because they're stupid. They lost their mind. But I love the arguments between the Shia and the Sunni of the Orthodox Prophet. Why? Because the Sunni will tell you, well, the Apostle of Allah, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they say that, like, they honor him. They honor a pimp. Literally, that's what Muhammad is. Listen. He make it lawful, and he make it unlawful, and he make it lawful the second time, and he make it unlawful the second time, and he make it lawful the third time, and he make it unlawful the third time, and then he make it unlawful, and he never make it lawful again. Wow. 3 times he made it lawful for Muslim men to sleep with prostitutes or to have fun with some lady. I'm sorry. If this is not garbage, I do not know what you Muhammad is. How in the world he allowed the first time to allow the second time to allow the third time? And the verse in the Quran, here it is in the Quran. I can read it there. فَمَنْ تَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَاتُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً. It is an ordinance, ladies and gentlemen. This is an ordinance in Islam. God help us. So Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, allow men to enjoy women for money, prostitution. And you can go look at all the hadiths. There's not one. There are plenty of them. There are plenty of them. Now, talking about you cannot have, I was doing a show with you actually, Adam, if you remember, and some guy brought this verse to us to prove that you cannot force marriage in Islam. But what in the world he's talking about? He quoted the Quran 24:33 to say you cannot force marriage in Islam. Listen, this is the verse.
And do not compel your young female to become prostitutes if they want to keep chaste. so that you seek the material of the world's life. And whoever compels them, so surely after they were compelled, Allah is forgiving, merciful.
That verse is not talking about Muslim children, females. No, no, it's talking about the slaves. The slaves which Muslims have, their right-hand possession, okay? They're young girls, they're beautiful, they're sexy, they're young, okay? Don't force them to become prostitutes. That's the will of Allah. But, because when you have 10 girls, and you hire them, you know, $10 for a guy, you can make $100 for a day. You do it twice a day, you can make $200 a day. You do it five times a day, you make $500 a day. A pimp, a Muslim man can be a pimp. But Allah said, don't do it. Divorce them, well, you know, Allah's forgiving them. Allah, Dr. Rukiya, sex out of marriage is forbidden in Islam. It is a form of sadaqah. It's a good deed. What good deed, woman? Have you ever read the Quran? Have you ever read the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith to know that women are used as prostitutes and men are enjoying women as prostitutes and women hiring and men hiring their young girls as prostitutes and Allah is forgiving them? I don't want to play this slide here. Actually, I want to go to this portion here, and we're going to come back to this, Lord is willing, after we finish this. Female genitalian mutilation. Now,
before you go there, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I would like to ask you to do a little bit of a translation, because we have a Muslim in the chat, and he's saying, don't you guys have shame that you are talking about this? So let me show you, and this Muslim guy, Ridwan Ibrahim, but Islamiyat TV in Egypt, and they are talking, and this lady is asking the sheikh, what is Milk al-Yameen? And the sheikh is trying to avoid the question. And finally, the other sheikh who sits with that same sheikh, finally...
This is the Mufti of the Azhar in Egypt, the top imam we have in Egypt. And the other one is a doctor. I see this video fresh. I have it in my powerful presentation. Woman is not.
I will give it to you.
Is the professor, one of the top professors at the other university. Go ahead.
So they are both major guys. Now, brother, try to translate.
لما نتكلم في الفتوى دي لو سمحت لي احنا محتاجين دراسة لغوية شوية. هنستفيد بقى من الدكتور مبروك هو معانا. ويفهمنا ايه بقى ما ملكت ايمانكم وحاله الرفض
She said we need to learn from Dr. Mabrook who's here and he said sure what does that mean وما ملكت ايمانكم whatever your right hand business
okay I just
your right hand business
I just forwarded it like 2 minutes because she was arguing with them nobody was telling them now this is the part where one of them will actually tell
sure.
انت يبقى في ملكة ايمانكم ولا ما في يعني لسه دينا كده يا دكتور مبروك
حضرتك we need to know is there anything in the Quran about whatever your right hand possesses or is there it is there or it is not there now he's gonna give the
answer اولا كلمة ملك اليمين الكوباية دي ملك يمين وكرسي ملك يمين كل ما يملك هو ملك يمين ده في الاصل اللغوي
Okay.
وعبر باليمين لأن اليمين أقوى من الشمال وإذا يقول لك يداه سبحانه وتعالى كلتاهما يمين
now answer
I'm thinking of the first part
the first part this cup is milk al-yameen this kursi the chair that I'm sitting on is milk al-yameen
anything you own is your right hand possession if it's a ring if it is a coat if it's a shirt if it's a chair if it's a donkey a camel a dog this is your right hand possession It is something you own. Something belongs to you. Okay?
Exactly. Let me rewind it a little bit more because he used the word cup, kubay, and then kursi, the chair. Man, this is derogatory.
If you own it, you own it. It's yours.
Exactly.
Okay?
This is the sheikh. This is the major sheikh of Allah.
That's a top professor as the other visit, Dr. Mabrook. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly.
The qadiyya ba'a it'affarit li. The kalam it'kitin fiha li. وبعض البرامج الاخرى قطعت الكلام وركبته ليه لان انا قلت النبض بتاع امريكا
yes brother
he's talking about the some of the channels by the way all this is talking about father Butus Zakaria whom I honor to have as a teacher to me it is he have a great influence on my life, and I've been to his TV ministry many times and recorded many shows in his studio, and I would love to go back again and do some more in the future. But all this is about the videos which is part of Moses Zachariah, both on YouTube and in his channel, which he exposed the reality of what your right hand possessed, slavery in Islam, and the Muslim man has the right to be in, to enjoy such relationship with slaves. So he said that these people are editing the word. They're taking verse out of context. That's what all Muslims do. That's what the best answer when you talk about that with the Muslims say, oh, that you misunderstand the verse. That's not exactly what it meant. But here they're not. They're gonna say that Dr. Mabrouk is gonna say it clearly in a minute. It'll blow your mind. Go ahead.
ويفهمنا ايه بقى ما ملكت ايمانكم وحاله الرزق وامتى يبقى في ملكه ايمانكم ولا ما فيش يعني لسه دينا كده دكتور مبروك حوالين الموضوع
اولا كلمه ملك اليمين الكوبايه دي ملك يمين وكرسي ملك يمين
now this I need to repeat this kubay this cup is ملك اليمين this كرسي is ملك
اليمين yeah the chair I'm sitting
is my right hand okay that's
كل ما يملك هو ملك يمين ده في الأصل اللغوي.
Okay. Yes. So in the original language, anything you own, it is your right hand possession.
وعبر باليمين إن اليمين أقوى من الشمال.
Well, the right hand is stronger than the left hand, which is dumb. This is really dumb. I know people, the left hand is stronger than the right hand. That's why in Islam, Allah have two right hands. He does not have a left hand. Two right eyes. Two right ears. I mean, this is ridiculous, but that's okay. The right hand is stronger than the left hand. That's why whatever your right hand is, that's because you own it, you have power. Okay. The right hand is above the left hand because it's stronger than the left hand. Okay.
ملكي هديتك ده ملك يميني. يقول لك حتى ده ملك يميني. ملك يميني يعني في ايديا كده. ماشي.
It's in my right hand. It's, I own it. Look. I have my phone in my right hand. It's my own phone. Okay.
على الزوجة. وده برضو حاجة إحنا محتاجين لها في الإشعاعات الاجتماعية الخطيرة اللي إحنا عايشينها إن الزوجة ليست ملك يمين مثل التي تؤتى وتقول له إن تقبله ونعانق.
Now do the translation, man.
Yeah, move on.
ونفرش النمارق وتدبر نفارق فراق غير وانق هي بس الحكاية ان في صفحة جيدة
The funny thing is, she's smiling.
وإن معنى الإنسانية والرفعة والكلمات الكبيرة دي هي اللي عندنا نادي اسمه الجهاد ده ما تقول بالضبة والمفتاح لكن هو له أحكامه بس يكون فرض عين
يعني he's talking about something not important. I wish you, if you get to the part where he say, you know what, let me do this. I'm going to give you the same presentation.
Okay.
I have it in English. I have it in English. Watch this. For you, my special brother. For you, my special brother. Here it is.
This is crazy, brother, because like this part I showed in a lot of my videos, just this part. Because this is such derogatory that when you are comparing a woman with a cup or a chair, this is stupidity.
Because
like Christini is my cup, like my cup. I can break her. I can do whatever with her.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do with it. Okay, let me show you the same video here is in English. So we will get to this part because it's the most beautiful part. So I'm gonna somehow my computer is not right, and I have to share that. So I'm gonna go here and here and here here here, and I'm gonna go to share, and I'm gonna go to share screen, and I'm gonna take this one here. Hey, I'm getting better, guys. Someday I'll be doing this.
You are a pro, brother. You are a pro.
No, I'm serious. I mean, I'm really serious. You know what? And we're going to choose this one. And then I'm going to share it here. And that will give you the shortcut.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Uh-oh, we cannot disagree. There is no doubt in the beauty of the moral life.
My dear sister, it will come out of the lips of the mosque that there is a virtue of Quran that advocates.
I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
What your writing is this?
If you fear, you will not.
I swear by Allah, we cannot disagree. There is no doubt in the beauty of the moral life that I
My dear sister, it will come out of the lips of the mosque that there is a virtue of Quran that advocates.
I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
What your right hand possesses.
If you fear, you will not treat them
equally.
Someone or what your right hand
possesses.
This is here. And you may not have heart. And by Allah, we will live on either Muslim, have one wife. And he will have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 slaves. Those are outside of his law as well.
That is speaking to me.
This question, the time of the program is not sufficient to answer. And this will bring us honor to the most holy of the people.
Your honor, your answer.
Anyway, so here's the story. He said, he prayed to Allah that day will come when a Muslim man will have one wife, and then he said 4, 5, 6, 7 slaves. This is the professor of the Azhar University, and the Imam, and they don't want to talk about it. He said, this question is so deep, we cannot do it in an hour. I do it in 5 minutes. Yes or no? Is this Islam? It is Islam. It is breakfast. It is the verse of Allah, it is the Sunnah of Muhammad in the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. And by the way, this part was before what I was showing, because she was sick in asking for over 2 minutes. Please tell me what does Milkul Yameen means. And then finally he said that verse, which you translated.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's what Islam is, brother. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, let's go back to the member in her words. Dr. Rafia Mosul said what? And she said, in her own words, sexual intimacy should be raised from animal level to sadaqah, a form of worship, so that each consider the happiness and the satisfaction of the other rather than mere self-gratification. So in similar words, Dr. Rukey Abdul Maksud, the Muslim lady, is teaching us that sex in Islam, it is for a man and a woman to enjoy a relationship in marriage, not before marriage, not outside of marriage. We already proved that you can have sex with married woman whom you cannot marry to simply because they are your right-hand possession. And as we've seen, the professor in the Azhar University, yes, indeed, he is praying to Allah that they will come and Muslim will have as many slaves as he can to enjoy them sexually, because what your right hand possesses is like a chair, is like a cup, is like a donkey, is like a horse. You ride a horse, you ride a woman. It's the same thing. You own a horse, you own a woman. It's the same thing. So now I want to go to how I believe this is a hogwash, because in Islam, ladies and gentlemen, and I said earlier, if you have children, ask them to go away or you stop watching us. In Islam, a woman does not enjoy sexual relationships. The chance for a lady, if she is coming from a Muslim family, a Muslim dad and a Muslim mom who raises little girl, the chance for her to have any intimacy in the sexual relationship with her husband is zero, slim. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? We're going to tell you why. So I'm going to launch again this thing here. Lord is willing to give to share this presentation with you. Here is the share switch and share screen, and we're gonna open this square here, and we're gonna go to window, and we're gonna.
Brother, you don't have to tell everybody what you're doing. Seriously.
What? I'm remind myself, man. Anyway, here we go. Listen to this, guys.
Female genital mutilation, purification, circumcision is obligatory for both men and women. It is the cutting of the foreskin from the man's private part. As for the circumcision of the female, it is the cutting off of the clitoris. For the lines of the traveler, E4.3.
So if you have the book, check it out, my dear Muslim friends. If you don't have the book, my Christian friends, trust me, we'll tell the truth. E4.3. That is the things about purification in Islam. That is women to lose the sexual part which Allah Almighty gives them by mistake or by accident, and if you cut it off, then she will have a pure, happy, joyful marriage with her husband, and she will become a toy, a sexual toy, for a husband to enjoy her sexually, but she will have zero enjoyment sexually from him. I don't even know why Allah create woman to be able to enjoy sex. Why can't Allah make it without it? I mean, just help me out here. For Dr. Ruqayya Abdul Maqsood, a man must satisfy his wife. It's not just me. Thank you, ma'am. No. It's not, thank you, ma'am. It is, I make sure that in Islam, a woman enjoy her intimacy relationship with her husband. It's not just me. Thank you, goodbye. No. That's not it. But in reality, if that young girl grew up in a Muslim home, a Muslim daddy and a Muslim mama, for sure, they would cut it off so she would be pure and she would live happy. And the reality is this. What happened if this young girl grew up to be like a normal woman and then she get excited sexually and she involved with a man sexually before marriage, as Dr. Ruqayya Abdul Maqsood said? She said no sex out of marriage. But she didn't tell you why. Because if she did have sex out of marriage, she will be stoned to death. So think about it. What is better for your daughter? To live all her life, to be a good wife and a good mama, raise lots of babies for her husband, and never enjoy sexual intimacy, or she make mistake who's not her husband, and she'll be stoned to death. Obviously, every mama loves her daughter. She wants her daughter to be exactly as she is. A mama never enjoys sexual intimacy. The daughter will never enjoy sexual intimacy. For sure, the grandchildren will not. For female, not for men. Men can enjoy it. As a matter of fact, you cannot take sex out of Islam for men. Muhammad incites men with sex in this world and incites men with sex for eternity. So, this is what is written in the Reliance of the Traveler, E4.3. You want to share your thing, Adam or Chris?
Well,
brother, I don't have to. Like, seriously, this is so derogatory in itself, and I have Reliance of Travelers with me. And E4.3, a lot of people who wants to download it in a lot of my Sharia live streams, the link of Reliance of Travelers is there. Section E4.3 is in page number. I forgot the page number. Hold on. It's in page number 59. It's in page number 59 of Reliance of Traveler. And man, this is such stupidity.
Yeah.
And
Muhammad and Muslim men know better than Allah. Allah made a mistake creating women to enjoy intimacy with their husbands, but somehow Muhammad fixed the mistake of Allah. Okay? Allah was wrong. Muhammad fixed it. And by the way, maybe some would say, listen to this guy. Some would say, well, this is in the Muslim world 1400 years ago. In the Arab, it's a bad culture, it's a nothing to do with Islam. Whoa. How about in Michigan? How about in Florida? How about in California? How about in Missouri? How about in America in the last few years? As a matter of fact, now it is legal for Muslim men to do that with the little girls in America.
Astaghfirullah. So,
go ahead.
By the way, one part that it adds over there that humblies do not say that they are obligatory, but they consider it to be a courtesy to the husband, brother. Courtesy to the husband that you do this with the lady. Imagine that.
Well, you know, it is the reality. Even when she's married and grew up a woman, and now she's married her husband, if she has all her body as God Almighty make us to be, maybe she cheated on her husband. But if she has zero enjoyment out of it, he has a peace of mind. He's going to go home, have good time with his wives and the concubines and the marriage for fun and the prostitution and the little girls and the babies. I mean, man enjoyed all his life with all ages. Okay, with all ages. But she will never, why a woman cheat on her husband if she gets nothing out of it anyway? So she can get caught? She can be stoned to death? Of course not. Listen to what's happening in Michigan. Okay?
Judge dismisses female genital mutilation charges in historic case. In a major blow to the federal government, a judge in Detroit has declared America's female genital mutilation law unconstitutional, thereby dismissing the key charges against two Michigan doctors and six others accused of subjecting at least nine minor girls to the cutting procedure in the nation's first PGM case.
This is what they know of. Trust me, there are Muslims in America more than those who live in Michigan. Trust me, there are millions of Muslims live in America and we don't talk about them. Imagine if this is something practiced by some Christian or some Jew. Trust me, the media will be all over it. No, 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 no. They're talking about one case of one doctor of nine, one story here, about 9 or 11 cases they know of. This is a practice Muslims have been practicing for the last 49 years in America for the last 50 years. So don't be there telling me it's one or two cases. Let me tell you the story again. I said it before, I repeat myself. It's not going to hurt anything. When I did my presentation of the business truth about Sharia, Islamic law, in Sarasota, and an older lady in her 70s, I'm guess 75 or 80 years old, retired nurse, she stood up in the middle of the crowd. I said, Brother Usama, what you're talking about here concerning children, women, circumcision, is fact, it's true. And I said, how do you know that, man? She said, I worked as a nurse at St. Louis, Missouri, which is only 2 hours from where I am right now, okay? She said, and we used to see these cases where girls brought to the hospital with a high fever, 104. And we figured out after many cases that this is exactly what they do. Mom and dad cut their own daughters. They circumcise their own females at home. And they're not using clean, sharp blades. They're just using whatever they got, the business, you know. And they get infection in, and it makes them all sick. And I said, whoa. How many cases do you have? Like, he said, for years, hundreds. And I said, so what did you do? Oh, Brother Usama, we give them this antibiotic, and she gave me some means of medicine and injection. I have no idea what she's talking about. And I said, so what do you do? She said, within 3-4 days, the infection is gone away, the temperature dropped down, and they become normal, and they go home. I said, did you call the police? No, we could not call the police. Excuse me, what? You could not call the police? She said, no, we could not. I said, why is that? Because in the hospital, they told them, this is Islamic culture. So you don't call the police when a mom and dad circumcise their girls. For 30, 40 years, this is happening in St. Louis. This has nothing to do with the stupid idiot Democrat judge in Michigan. This is in America. In the 50 states of the United States of America, in almost every home. In every home. Okay? That's what Muslims do. And if you will not allow them to do it here in America, trust me. Papa and mama, they will take their girl and they go overseas to visit with grandma. They pick their children and they come back. What are you going to do? You're going to arrest a Muslim man for circumcising his daughter in Egypt or in Saudi Arabia or in Pakistan? Of course you're not going to do that. Of course you're not going to do that. So I said to the lady, so you don't call the police? She said, no. And now I'm talking to you, my friend. Imagine with me a Christian couple, a mom and dad, whom their daughters behave in an unpolite way, did something immoral or did something wrong, or their son behave unmoral way, did something wrong, and he is what, 14 years old, and a dad or a mom spanks him, okay? It hurt me in my chest and my heart more than hurt them on their body. And the boy or the girl goes to school the following day. It doesn't matter, 8, 10, 12, 14. And the teacher found out there's a mark on the arm or on the butt from spanking of mom and dad. Does the school do anything about it? Sure. The social service will be called. The police will be called. They will be taking pictures of the finger mark on the butt or on the arm. I guarantee you, lots of pictures. And then the child will be taken out of that house. And the child will be taken to, foster home. And then the mom and dad will be taken to court. And maybe they will lose custody of their children. Or maybe dad will go to jail. Or maybe mom and dad will get divorced over it. And the only proof they have for that case in the court of law 3, 4, 5 weeks later is a picture. Because if you go look at the arm or you look at the butt of the child, you guess what? There's no mark. The finger mark on the arm, it disappears. We in America treat our parents who are godly parents as if they are criminals. if they simply do the simple spanking which we all grew up with in years ago. But a Muslim dad and a Muslim mom circumcise their daughters for life. She will never know what it is to have a good orgasm in bed because it's gone. When you cut them off, there's no feeling. There's no zero. And that is okay in America. In America, in St. Louis, Missouri, in Michigan. We got a judge here, guys. I'm not making up the story. Go look it up. The judge said it is constitutional. It is their right, the Muslim right, to circumcise their daughters. After all, that is what Islam teaches. We read it in the Reliance of the Traveler. And I'm going to watch with you this next video. It's funny because I believe my friend,
when the star source, and
I believe my friend David Wood did a great job to clarify this problem. Very good. So listen carefully to what David's going to say about this case. Do you want to say anything, Christy or Adam, before I go to the video, please?
No, I was going to say something, but let's go on.
Go to the video. We'll go to the video.
Yeah.
A bit of time trying to convince Americans that they would absolutely love Sharia. You'll know when you're living under Sharia law if suddenly all your loans and credit have become interest-free. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Wow, so if I sign up for Sharia, I get interest-free loans and credit cards, not to mention child marriage, spousal abuse, raping female captives, stoning adulterers, the death penalty for apostates, and the violent subjugation of all non-Muslims. Sharia, come for the interest-free loans, stay for the pedophilia and female genital mutilation. Speaking of female genital mutilation, you'll never guess who just got caught lying to female genital mutilation. I'll give you a hint.
I am an Islamophobe's worst nightmare.
She's every Islamophobe's worst nightmare. Someone who constantly lies about Islam in order to deceive people who would never in a million years sit down and actually read an Orthodox Muslim source. Obviously, if you're trying to get Americans to warm up to Sharia, you have to keep them utterly ignorant of almost all of Sharia. Just keep telling them about the interest-free credit cards until they're being forced to convert with swords at their throats. Police recently arrested a gang of female genital mutilators in a Detroit suburb. The three suspects are all members of the Dawoodi Bokra sect of Shia Islam. Everyone's favorite fake feminist responded to the arrests with, female genital mutilation has no place in Detroit or anywhere else in the world. Female genital mutilation is barbaric and is not an Islamic practice. I agree with Linda Sarsour that female genital mutilation is barbaric and that it has no place in Detroit or anywhere else in the world, but I'm confused by her claim that it's not an Islamic practice, mainly because Muslim scholars and her prophet say the exact opposite. For instance, the sheikhs at the fatwa site, Islam Question and Answer, were asked to comment on this topic. A concerned Muslim wrote, nowadays, we hear that many doctors denounce the circumcision of girls and say that it harms them physically and psychologically, and that circumcision is an inherited custom that has no basis in Islam. Sounds like something Reza Aslan would say.
I mean, the argument about the female genital mutilation being an Islamic problem is a perfect example of that. It's not an Islamic problem, it's an African problem.
Okay.
The scholars replied, praise be to Allah. Firstly, circumcision is not an inherited custom, as some people claim. Some people, including Linda Sarsour and Reza Aslan. Rather, it is prescribed in Islam, and the scholars are unanimously agreed that it is prescribed. Not a single Muslim scholar, as far as we know, has said that circumcision is not prescribed. Think about this. Linda Sarsour tells her followers that female genital mutilation isn't an Islamic practice, but actual Muslim scholars say that they unanimously agree that it is an Islamic practice and that they can't find a single Muslim scholar who doesn't think that it's an Islamic practice. Oddly enough, this would suggest that actual Muslim scholars don't regard Linda Sarsour or Reza Aslan as scholars, and yet Sarsour and Aslan are constantly paraded across news channels as experts.
It's as if our news channels don't want accurate information about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see why Muslim scholars are unanimous on this issue. Their evidence is to be found in the Sahih Ahadith of the Prophet, proof that it is prescribed. For example, 1. The Hadith narrated by Abu Bakari and Muslim from Abu Huraira that the Prophet said, the fitra is a kind of natural predisposition human beings have because they're created by Allah, is 5 things, or 5 things are part of the fitra: circumcision, shaving the pubes, cutting the nails, plucking the armpit hairs, and trimming the mustache. This hadith includes circumcision of both males and females. So female circumcision is part of Allah's created order according to Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. Strange that Muhammad would take female circumcision as an absolute given, while Linda Sarsour describes it as a barbaric practice that has no place anywhere, let alone in Islam. Muslim translators were convinced that this hadith is authentic, even distort texts about female circumcision to bring the text into line with Muhammad's description. For instance, this is the Life of the Traveler. It's a manual of Sharia. Odd that a manual of Sharia would be more than 1,000 pages long when Linda Sarsour can sum up Sharia in a single tweet. I don't drink alcohol, don't eat pork, I follow Islamic way of living. That's all Sharia is. Let's look at the translator's version of what Reliance of the Traveler says about female circumcision.
Here, by the way, the translation here is not accurate. The translation is not accurate. What we have played to you earlier is the accurate translation for this. So if you want to know exactly what we have in, I have shared with you. When you look at the Arabic here on the right, يجب على كل من الذكر والأنثى, must be for the male and the woman, circumcision. And the rest, what we read, I'm going to play it again to you. This is not what we have in English. They're lying. Even the last of the travelers, they're lying. We actually have some portion in the Arabic of the last of the travelers. They did not translate at all. Because it's so embarrassing and it's so evil, it's so ungodly, and they will not translate it. Okay? So, that's me. Let's continue, and I'll get you back to the actual translation later. I hope by now you read it.
Is female circumcision starting to sound like it has something to do with Islam? Uh-huh. This brings us back to Islam question and answer. The 3 opinions of scholars are, 1, that it is obligatory for both males and females, 2, that circumcision is sunnah for both males and females, 3, that circumcision is obligatory for men and is good and mustahab for women. Mustahab means recommended. The scholars conclude, thus it is clear that the fuqaha of Islam, the scholars of Islam, are agreed that circumcision is prescribed for both males and females, and in fact, the majority of them are of the view that it is obligatory for both. No one said that it is not prescribed, or that it is makruh, meaning disliked, or haram, meaning forbidden. All of the scholars said that circumcision is prescribed for females. Most said that it's obligatory. No one said that it's disliked or forbidden. No one except American Muslims like Linda Sarsour and Reza Aslan.
And by the way, Mr. Aslan, who said it's a problem of Africa, is wrong. Because there are more females circumcised in Asia than those in Africa. As a matter of fact, if you go to a country like Indonesia with 220 million people there, half are women, we're close to it, maybe 51% are women, I'm not sure. So we're talking about over 100 million women are circumcised in one country, in Asia, which is the country of Indonesia. That's more than the females in Africa who are circumcised, Muslim females who are circumcised in Africa. I mean, it's obviously, it's, a, it's Here's the problem. Here's what makes me sick in my stomach, that these News of America, as Brother David mentioned a minute ago, they get Linda Sassoon and Brother Aslan and whatever else Muslim out there, and they use them as a scholar, but they will not bother to get somebody like me or somebody like David or somebody like Adam who knows Islam very well, and we can share, here's what Muhammad said, here's what Allah said. No. They come up with their own interpretation, with their own understanding of it, and that's what it is. And this is not Islamic at all. It's a barbaric, savage act. No, it is actually what Muslims believe, and that is what Muslims practice, okay? And here is one more time what is written in this slide concerning E4.3 in the last of the chapter.
Female genital mutilation, purification, circumcision is obligatory for both men and women. It is the cutting of the foreskin from the man's private part. As for the circumcision of the female, it is the cutting off of the clitoris. The Reliance of the Traveler, E4.3.
So now if I go back with you, Linda, to what is written by Dr. Linda Sassoon about sexual activity. She said what? You know, here's what she said.
Sexual intimacy outside marriage is forbidden in Islam, including sex before marriage, adultery, or homosexual relationships. However, within marriage, sexual intimacy should be raised from the animal level to sadaka, a form of worship, so that each considers the happiness and satisfaction of the other rather than mere self-gratification.
The whole thing, now every word came out of her lips in this life is a lie. Because they are sex out of marriage. They are sex with slaves. They are sex with prostitutes. As we've seen, even Muslims, that a man can be a pimp in Allah's book, and Allah is forgiving, merciful, and He forgives for doing. Now, there are no sexual intimacy to be raised to the level of sadaqah, because women cannot enjoy it if they are living to practice the best of Islam, which is it is evil, it is barbaric, it is Islamic, it is Allah, it is Muhammad, it is Sunnah, it is actually what I believe Linda Sassoon, maybe herself, has the same problem. I love it how Linda Sassoon and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were telling me that some women in America should not have private parts, so they should not have babies. In reality, these women like Bridget Gabriel, to be exactly that we're talking about, Bridget Gabriel, as a Christian from Lebanon, she can't enjoy sex relationship because her family did not take her to this barbaric practice. But Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and most likely Linda Sassoon, unless she grew up in America and her parents were non-practicing Muslims, most of them most likely do not know what it is to have sexual intimacy. Because without this portion of the female body, women have zero intimacy. So obviously, Dr. Rukeya Maqsood, Abdul Maqsood, was a professional liar, and she is deceiving thousands of American and British and European, for all countries of Europe, to believe her lies about sex in Islam. Anything you want to share, Christy or Adam? Okay. Let's move on.
Said it all, brother. Like, seriously speaking, like, there's nothing more to say.
If Islam is established, it is a religion for men, not for women, in this world and in the hereafter, as we're going to see in the rest of our study. So, okay, we still have a good 10 minutes. Let's get this slide here. Contrary to Christianity. Listen to what she said.
Contrary to Christianity, Islam does not regard marriage as made in heaven or till death do us part. They are contracts with conditions. If either side breaks the conditions, divorce is not only allowed, but is usually expected. Nevertheless, a hadith makes it clear that of all the things God has allowed, divorce is the most disliked.
It's just what happened, ladies and gentlemen. I studied that contract in my school in Egypt when I was in social work school. But as a social worker, I need to know everything about marriage and divorce in Islam. And when I studied this with Dr. Muhammad, who used to come to us from the university of in Azhar University in Cairo, same place where we saw this Dr. the idiot we watched a little bit earlier, who think that it's okay for a Muslim man to have unlimited number of slaves, same school, other university, that's where the approval for the reliance of the traveler. I mean, that book is approved by the other universities. They actually teach it to every Muslim imam. If you ever met a Muslim imam in America who wears suits and ties and pretend to be a good, moderate Muslim, tell him you're a big, fat liar and you are a bunch of garbage because you have studied the reliance of the traveler and you know Sharia and you don't play this game of deception with me, okay? So all Muslim imam in America knows exactly what I'm talking about. So what is it? What is the contract of marriage? It's a paper. It's a paper saying, I, Usama Dakta, will marry my, the name of the female, and here is the down payment of $3,000. So now I'm paying her so I can enjoy her sexually. And in the case of divorce, there will be another $2,000 to be make payment, maybe $20 a month. The contract. So it is there written. How much I pay upfront, how much I pay for the divorce. The divorce is expected. It could happen. And if a woman does not have this written, she may come out of the situation in a bad scenario. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in this topic of divorce in Islam. If a woman asks for divorce, she loses the money which she's supposed to get in payment of the divorce. Because she asked, hey, he doesn't want to divorce her. You want out? Hey, you want out? Okay, you're divorced. End of story. But she has to ask for it, which I'm going to talk about a little bit about that later here. Can you imagine with me, a man marry a woman when she's 9, 10 years old? I'm sorry, a child. I apologize. I said a woman, a child. Or maybe an older you want, 20 years old. And 30 years later, she's an old, she's now in her 50s or her 60s, and he divorced her. What is the value of $20 every month 30 years later? A dollar? Maybe $1.50. Under Obama, it's not worth even 10 nickels, okay? 10 pennies. 10 pennies. If I divorce my wife and I make the payment for her, what I give her will not be enough 20, 30 years later for her to buy bread, to eat bread without cheese, without a piece of hamburger or anything, just bread. That's exactly the condition of the woman. That's why when a Muslim woman married to a husband, she doesn't want to have divorce. Even if he treats her, as we're going to see in the rest of our study, treat her like a piece of garbage. What your right hand possesses. I think if you have a donkey, you in Islam, you treat it better than treating a wife. We're going to prove it. You may think I'm making this up. We're going to prove it. So the divorce is expected. It's in the contract. I marry you, $3,000 upfront, $4,000 at the end of the divorce, and you, we can make it a payment. Okay? Now, she said, the hadith says it's the most hateful thing which Allah allows. You know, you have to be stupid to listen to that. You literally have to be stupid to listen to that. If it is hateful, how can Allah allow it? If it is not good, how can God allow it? Adultery is hateful, but you cannot commit adultery. Stealing is hateful, but you can steal. Killing is hateful, but you can kill. What is that? Is it lawful or not? Is it good or not? You don't have a settle for that. It's the most. The hadith make it clear that of all things God has allowed, divorce is the most disliked, the most hateful. But somehow Allah allowed it. This is stupid. Continue. Let's skip this, because this word book here. Here we go. Listen up, guys. Here we go.
A Muslim has a genuine reason for divorce only if the spouse's behavior goes against the sunnah of Islam. In other words, if he or she has become cruel, vindictive, abusive, unfaithful, neglectful, selfish, sexually abusive, tyrannical, perverted, and so on.
This is a British English teacher. She knows exactly how to use her words. If a spouse behavior goes against the sunnah of Islam. Spouses in the English language could be a husband or a wife. Are you out of your mind, woman? If this is the problem of the husband or the wife, trust me, there will never be a married man in the Muslim world because every woman will divorce her husband because think about it, here we go. In other words, if he or she, no, if he, forget about she, because that will never happen from she. If she does that, she's dead. She's not divorced. She's dead. But we're going to prove it. If he becomes cruel, excuse me, in Islam, a husband has the right to be cruel. In Islam, not in England, not in America, in Islam, in the Sunnah of Muhammad, according to the word of Allah in the Quran, a husband has the right to be cruel, vindictive, abusive, unfaithful. I mean, what is faithful for a husband? Listen to this, Adam. I have four wives. They live in the same house. And I'm not unfaithful. Help me out, brother. You have three other wives with your wife in the same house, but you're faithful.
Brother, they are not in the same house. Muhammad had different houses. Muhammad had 11 houses, remember?
So in Egypt, where I come from, a man can have the four wives in the same house. Trust me.
Yeah, so one of my friends in Pakistan had a couple of wives living in the same house. He had portion. And the beauty of that guy told me once is like, my friend, you know, the beauty of having multiple wives is they will always be good to you. Because if one goes bad with you, you go to the other and she'll become jealous and she'll be good back to you again. So that's the beauty of having multiple wives.
You got it, buddy. But when you think about unfaithful, if a woman unfaithful, she's dead. She's not divorced. Forget about divorce. I mean, Sharia, Islamic law, it teaches a woman cheat on her husband, she's stoned to death. End of story. Kiss her goodbye. No divorce. What divorce? Now, can he be unfaithful? What is unfaithful? If you have four wives in the same house, unlimited number of concubines and slaves, and marriage for fun, and marriage for the little girl, and marriage for this, what is unfaithful? Does Islam have anything to do with faithfulness? What is faithfulness? God help us. Anyway, now, neglectful. So if I have four, let me put it like Muhammad, if I have nine wives and I neglected so that Bint Zima, I will never have sex with her because I'm going to favor Aisha and give her twice as more time in bed than the rest of the other seven wives. Don't you think that Muhammad here neglected so that Bint Zima? What is the punishment for a woman to see you sleeping with all your other wives and with your favorite wife, Aisha, twice as much, but you never give her a hug or a kiss or being involved with her sexually? That is the great insult. That's the great neglectful. And that is the sunnah of Muhammad. Okay? So it's okay for a Muslim man to have four wives. Three wonderfully, maybe choose one better than the other two, and neglect the fourth. Will she ask for divorce because he's not having sex with her? Are you out of your mind? She may be actually thankful to Allah that he's not sleeping with her. Because after all, she gets no feeling at all. I mean, what is the point of having sex for a woman? Now, this is it. Selfishness. Oh, Muslim men are not selfish. They're so hubby. They're so loving. They're so nice. Okay? And sexual abuses, for heaven's sake. If you know what the Quran teaches about sex and what Islam teaches about sex and how Muslims practice sex, if you don't know what sexual abuse is, it is Islamic practice. And whatever this garbage word we have here, I can't even read this word. What is the next word? Tyrannical? What is tyrannical? I don't even know what this word is.
Tyrannical.
What is that?
It means to treat someone in a horrible way. You're a tyrant. It means
so
you're evil.
Because if I beat my wife every day, that's tyrannical?
Yeah.
That is Islam, people. If I don't beat my wife, I'm not practicing the word of Allah. We're going to see it. It's coming. I have it. It's coming. Trust me. So every Muslim man is tyrannical. Tyrannical. Beat the daylight out of the wife. But you have to beat them lightly. We're going to talk about it later. Okay?
Who the hell said that?
Yeah? What perverted now? What is the word perverted?
Well, perverted, I've tried to tell you before when we've had some Muslims call and make a lot of ugly comments. It means to be immoral. It usually implies some type of sexual perversion.
Okay, that is Islam. That is Islam. So in according to Dr. Rukiya Abu Maksud, if a Muslim female is married to a Muslim man, she has the right to divorce. Am I right, Adam?
Yes, brother. Come on, man.
See, I'm a Muslim. I practice all these garbage words. I am unfaithful. I am abusive. I am vindictive. I am neglectful. I am selfish and sexual abusive, tyrannical and perverse. All these is a perfect picture, a perfect fit for a Muslim man. And
brother,
if I am a Muslim man, my wife has the right to divorce me.
No, she doesn't have the right to divorce me. That's stupidity. And she can only ask for it. And by the way, as a personal testimony,
yeah.
Even though that I'm not proud of that, what I have been doing, but I would say to my wife, if we have an argument, like, shut up, or I'll get another one. So shut up, be straight, or I'll get another one, full stop.
Right. Hasta la vista, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is how easy it is, and I'm just notching it very down when I'm saying it over here in live, other than what I used to say to her. So that's why I remember when I accepted Christ, and she has not. She's like, how come you can be so good? Like, you definitely have a girlfriend. It's part of my testimony. She became so hyper tense that I might have another girlfriend, that I am just so nice with her. So yeah, the Muslim wives cannot even comprehend or imagine when the husband becomes nice. You know, that's the reality of the situation, bro.
All right, so Christy, will you remember next Saturday, Lord is willing, you lead me to the slide which is called In Good Islamic Breakfast. When I talk about the boats, Lord is willing next week, and we'll see how it is wonderful divorce in Islam, and Lord have helped. The Lord help me. I feel like I get sick of to repeat the life of these useful idiots, stupid, useful idiots of a British or American or whatever, or just simply the good Muslim imams in America. They teach lies. It's pure lies. Guys, Islam cannot be practiced in America as it is written in the Quran and as it is described in the Sunnah of Muhammad. That's why you will never hear somebody in America talk about Sharia. Linda Sassou told us, Sharia is, she will not drink alcohol, and she will not eat pork. That is what all Sharia heard, not realizing that Sharia covers all aspects of Muslim man and woman's life. And it is very abusive law. We will do this most willing when we do our study of Sharia as we go with Sikhar time. Anyway, so I'm done. Go ahead. Do you have anybody have a question? Anybody have a comment? Anybody want to talk about anything going on?
I would like you to invite sometime on your channel, Brother Lloyd DeJong. He has studied Sharia extensively.
Sure.
Not just the Rise of Traveler, but the book of Fiqh as well, including the Hataya and all those. Brother, you will be amazed how things are written.
I would love to have him. I would love to learn from him. I am a student. I'm still learning, and I'll continue to learn. And I only know what I know. Trust me, there's too much in Islam that I will never learn. And the more I know about Islam, the more I'm thankful to the Lord that I am not a Muslim, but I'm a Christian. Praise God that this is the reality. Matthew 8:6, but those who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged out about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You know what? This little one you're talking about, called Imam, is the wife of the Muslim man whom they abuse. It is how sick in Islam for a man in his 40s, 56, as we talk about in our last program, to be married to the 8, 9, 10 years old children. I mean, I don't know how in the world these people can live with themselves. And then total, guys, if you have not seen our program last week, Women Islam Part 4, I hope and I pray, Lord is willing, that you go and watch, because it will blow your mind. And we're not finished. We're going to talk about divorce and many other issues, Lord is willing, as we continue of Women Islam. It's gone.
Let me give you a personal statement that happened today, not yesterday, and I was really, really pissed off at that lady. She came into my Urdu channel, living in some Western country right now, and she was trying to say that Islam is good, no matter whether it allows you to marry a 9 years old or an 8 years old with any adult, because Islam says that, it is true, and there is no harm in it. I had like a 10-minute discussion with her. I was so pissed. I started abusing her. I kicked her off my chair. I was like, shut up. Get the hell off her. You live in a secular country. That is why you can say this BS, but you will not do it with your own daughter. Because the secular government does not allow you to do that with your own daughter. Hence, you will not be able to do that. But I am so ashamed of listening to you that you would allow your own daughter to go through that. I'm ashamed of you. And a Yemeni bride of 8 years of age died of internal bleeding the very next day of her marriage because she was married to 3 times of her age adult, and his private part destroyed her, and she died the very next day.
Welcome to Islam. Oh. Welcome to Islam. Okay, we only have 1 minute left for you, Christy, to share whatever you want to share.
Well, I just, I am glad that you shared with us on this topic, but I know it gets into so much depth. I hope that people will realize that our biggest challenge is within the Christian community who are ignorant of all these things, because the power that we have to change this is only going to be if Christians wake up. Because we can pray that Muslims will leave Islam and then they can be powerful witnesses like
Amen.
Adam and some of our other friends. But if the church in the Western world would wake up, they could save and prevent so many people from going to hell because they would be sharing the gospel with these victims. Islam victimizes other people, but like you always say, the Muslims are victim number one.
Sure. That's a sad story. We love the Muslim people. We want them to get saved. I want you as a Muslim man or woman who watches these programs, investigate. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Investigate to see if what we're telling you is true or we're making it up. And if you want to challenge us for it, please, with all means, we would love to debate you on any of this topic. Adam, 10 seconds.
Yeshua Akbar al-Azim.
Amen, amen. Guys, like this show, share it with us, give the number bigger. I'm not asking for anything more than please help us to get these words out. God bless you all. Please don't hang up yet. Listen to this very important 2 minutes of every show. So here is the closing prayer.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure.
90
in fact,
seconds.
Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed. And that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.